Hey church, what an amazing season we are in. And you know what? We're about to hear a great word from Pastor Russell. So prepare your hearts, prepare your ears. Let's take a look.
You know, we're living in crazy times. Crazy times. And I just believe that God is good all the time. And if you believe that, say amen. God is good all the time. Shout it out in your room. God is good all the time. You know, I was reading in my devotions this week, I'm going through the Bible far quicker than I've ever gone before. Maybe I got more time to read. And I was reading how the children of Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years in Egypt under slavery. And the oppression was so strong. You know, God never created his children to be oppressed. In fact, when Jesus came to this earth, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the prisoners free, to heal those who are oppressed. God never called us to live in imprisonment. He never called us to live bound. He never called us to be oppressed. That's the devil. That's what he tries to do. And so the children of Israel had turned from God and they had become oppressed. And then one day God hears their cries and finds Moses. And in Exodus chapter 4 in the Message Bible, there's such a cool thing that just stood out to me as I was reading. It says, so Moses and Aaron proceeded to round up all the leaders of Israel. Aaron told them everything that God had told Moses. God says, go set my people free so that they can worship. That's what he told him to do. Take them to the promised land. And it says that God told Moses and demonstrated the wonders before the people. And the Bible says, and the people trusted and listened, believing, listen to this great statement, believing that God was concerned with what was going on with the Israelites and knew all about their affliction. See, God is concerned about what's happening on this earth right now. He is concerned with your life. He knows what's going on. He's not surprised. And he sees the affliction. He sees the challenges. He sees the attacks. He sees that and he wants to respond to it. And so the Bible says they did an amazing thing because when they understood that God was their deliverer, that he wanted to take them out of bondage and bring them into freedom, the Bible says they bowed low and they worshiped. See, when you understand that God is on your side, when you understand that God is concerned with you, when you understand that you're not alone, when you understand that he is your provider, when you understand that he's your deliverer, when you understand he's your freedom, when you understand he's your joy, when you understand if God be for you, who can be against you, when you understand, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. When you understand that he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies and your cup overflows and surely goodness and mercy shall follow you, when you understand this is a God we serve, this is a God who loves his children, when you understand that we are heirs of the living God, when you understand that if God is on your side, you're a son and a daughter of God and that he's a loving father and he's concerned. And when he's concerned, like all fathers do, he responds. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus is telling some stories and parables. I love that about Jesus. He spoke where people could understand. And he was there and he was describing an atmosphere that was potentially going to be around. And he was talking about, when will this happen? In Luke 17, 13, the disciples asked. Jesus replied, just as the gathering of vultures show there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. So here is the environment, is an environment of death. It's an environment of the attack of the enemy. It's an environment where vultures are circling, where vultures want to come and they want to steal. That just like the devil, he's like a vulture. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's wanting to do on planet Earth right now. He might be circling, and he might be trying to intimidate. So what do you do when you're in a situation when the enemy tries to circle your life and tries to come against you? In 2 Samuel 21 verse 10, I'm not going to be speaking much on this part, but as I was preparing for this morning, actually coming in to do this, I remembered a story about a girl. My dad preached a sermon about this lady called Rizpah. And Rizpah's children had been done the wrong thing and actually had been killed, and they're on this mountain. And the Bible says that Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it over herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from heavens on the body. She did not let the birds touch them by day or the wild animals by night. In other words, she got up there and protected what God had given her. And she says, no, the enemy is not going to touch my family. The enemy is not going to touch what he wants to do in my life. And I'm here to encourage you today. Be like a Rizpah and stand over the promises of God over your family, over every part of your life, whether it's financial, whether it's in health, whether it's in your emotions, and say, no, you cannot touch my children. You cannot touch what God has destined for my life. And I'm going to stand there and protect it in faith. The vultures might be there, but God sends people to stand in the gap to protect what he wants to do on this earth. So Luke 17 says the atmosphere was that of where the enemy was coming to attack. And then he uses this parable in Luke chapter 18. And this is what I really want to teach us today and get to us. The title of the message is God sees, so claim your legal rights as his children. God sees, just like he saw the children of Israel when they were under oppression. God sees and he responds. But we need to be like this woman, this widow in the Bible, in Luke 18, that Jesus uses a parable. He gives an example of what we should do. He said, then he spoke a parable to them, that man always ought to pray and not lose heart. There are people hearing my voice right now, and the key to you not losing heart is your prayer life and your worship life. I want to encourage you today. You might be in a lockdown made a decision by someone else or a situation that's out of your control. Do not lose heart, but keep on praying. And then he says, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. So this judge was not a God-fearing person, and he didn't care about people. He cared about himself. And it says, now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Who is our adversary? The enemy, the devil. He is our adversary. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He's our adversary. And it says, he would not for a while. So this judge is stubborn. He says, nah, I'm not going to do that. Nah, this is impossible. Nah, I don't want to. But after he said within himself, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she's wearying me. Then the Lord says, so he's using this illustration of this judge who doesn't care about God and doesn't really care about people, and this widow who has an adversary who's been unjust, and he comes and he keeps attacking her. But what does the widow do? She goes to the judge. And the judge says no. And what does she do? She goes again. And the judge says no. And what does she do? She goes again. And after a while of her persistence, After a while of her challenging, the judge changes. And Jesus says here, then the Lord says, hear what the unjust said, judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect? Everyone say, I'm elected by God. You are elected by God. If you know Jesus, you are elected by God. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Not just once, not just a prayer here, there, every now and then, but every night crying out to God. This is the persistence we need at this time. This thing that we are facing right now on earth needs a persistent faith, not just a one-day faith, not just a 2 months faith, but a persistent faith that says every day I'm going to get a hold of God and I'm going to get a hold of him and I'm going to keep knocking on his door and say, God, you are my provider, even though situations might say the opposite. God, you are my healer. God, you are my freedom, and I'm going to keep going after it. And it says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith on the earth? In this season, we need to be like this widow. We need, you know, we've been put into situations that are completely out of our control. Some would say unjust at times, but they're out of our control. What's the answer to this season? The answer is a persistent faith that keeps knocking, and God is saying, hey, don't you understand? I'm a good God and I'll provide good things to you. You see, in this scripture, it says that she was praying. You know, prayer to a Christian should be like breathing. It should be just something we do all the time. You know, the only time we think about breathing is when something's wrong with the oxygen levels. You know, prayer is not an orientation. It is an orientation, not just a position. In other words, we don't so position ourselves in prayer, we are constantly praying for God of the breakthrough. Prayer is an atmosphere of operating. I want to encourage you to put prayer around your family. Put prayer around your life. Let prayer be in your morning, be in your afternoon, be in your evening. And prayer is a normal function, not a schedule. And the Bible says, we're going to break this down a little bit. There was a certain judge who did not fear God or man. The judge is unrighteous. He doesn't care about what God thinks and man thinks. These type of people are open to bribes, open to situations that are all about themselves. But the widow in the scripture says, I want justice. And when Jesus is using the picture of the widow woman, the context is this. This is the context. She was considered the lowest of the low in those days. Women weren't protected. She had no one to stand in for her. She was considered poor. She had to plead her case. And she had been done wrong, legally wronged. She had been legally wronged. She needed legal intervention. Legal action was her only option, and she needed legal protection. And so here's a woman who has no resources. She has no one to stand in the gap. All she has is she understood her legal protection. But the judge was unwilling, and for a while he would not listen. He would not listen to her. And afterwards he said within himself, though I don't fear God nor man, yet because his widow troubles me, I'll avenge her, lest she continually is wearing me out. You see, here's a tenacity in this woman. She understands her legal position, even though she has nothing. She understands her legal position. And so she keeps going to this unjust judge and she keeps knocking on his door and keeps saying, give me justice, give me justice. He says this word, he says, she's wearing me out. That word wearing me out means he's given me a black eye. She's given me a black eye. A black eye means she's ruining my reputation. To get the woman off my back, I've got to give her legal protection. You see, her knowledge of the law made her persistent. She knew her position to keep going back. My encouragement to you today, do you know what God says? You see, when God created us and He gives us His promises, they aren't just this nice nursery rhyme that He'll say, this is a nice story. No, they're promises that He legally has required to respond to. The Bible says, then the Lord says, hear what the unjust says, and shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him? Though He bears long with them, I will tell you, He will avenge them speedily. You see, Jesus is contrasting the unrighteous judge with God in an environment of bad air and vultures circling. He is comparing this unjust judge who doesn't care about his reputation to God. You see, God cares about his reputation because his reputation determines who he is. And the widow was a stranger. He's using this comparison. The widow was a stranger to the judge, but this woman is God's elect, God's children. You see, so the difference is here. He's teaching us to be tenacious like this woman, but God won't be like the judge. He'll be like a father. But we got to have this approach in this season. God, I got to keep on knocking. I got to keep on believing. I got to keep on asking. Although it seemed like there was a little breakthrough there and I thought there was going to be a bigger breakthrough and it seems like we've taken a step back, we're going to ask again. We're going to be like this woman who says, hey, the vultures might be coming, but we're here to protect our destiny and our heritage and our future. The situation might be tough, but we're going to keep on knocking because we believe in you. We believe in your character. We believe in who you are. We believe in your power. We believe in your glory. God saying, if a judge who is unjust will respond to a persistent widow, how much more with a loving father? You know, I love this about God. God sees. He saw the children of Israel. He sees. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows your name. He knows you. You are His children. And won't He respond to His children that keep on knocking? You know, sometimes God responds quickly and He just does what a thing in a moment of asking once. But there are times where He's wanting to put some character and put some determination in us because some of the spirits that we are fighting are bigger than a situation we might be fighting over here. And so we need a determination to keep going back and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. Before God formed you, the Bible says, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You are set apart for this time and this season. You are here to make a difference in this world where other people are backing down and getting things into the sleep mode. It's time for us to stir up and release our faith. He says, I've set you apart. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He's talking to Jeremiah. And God has set us apart, church. He's appointed us. He's made you an elect. You are elected to make a difference in this world. Whether it's a kind word, whether it's a generous spirit, whether it's a praise, whatever. You are elected to make a difference. Come on, today, stand up, be persistent. Dust yourself off again. You know, when the enemy comes in, the atmosphere is vultures are around. They're trying to steal. They're trying to take. It seems like things are impossible. Get up and go back to God and begin to call out to Him. How much more will God look after His own children? God responds to his children. He's a good dad. But God also responds to the legal rights as a child of God. Because this is the thing about God. God is obligated himself by what he said. The Bible says he is not a God that he should lie. So when he says he's Jehovah Jireh, he is Jehovah Jireh. When he says he's Jehovah Rapha, our healer, he is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. When he says he is Jehovah Shalom, our peace, he is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And so he has obligated himself by what he said. So when he says something, we can put a claim on that because we understand our legal position as heirs of God. See, God has tethered himself to his word. He has tethered himself to his word. And God will operate in concert with his word. So if you understand you're a child of God, you understand God sees, so if he sees, he will respond. Not like an unjust judge who doesn't see or does not want to see. A God, a loving father who sees the plight of his children. But he's looking for a children that will, you know, you think about the children of Israel in Egypt. The Bible says that Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh rejected them time and time again. But what did they do? They kept going back because God had told them. They kept being persistent like this widow because God had told them. They understood who they were. When God came to Moses, he said, who do I say that sends me? He says, say that I am the God who is I am. The God who was and is to come. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The God who is all powerful. The God, you see, so many times we ask one time or we do something one time, but we need to get up and go again and be consistent and persistent till we see the breakthrough. In this season where we have this virus around the world, we need to get up and go again in prayer and be persistent and consistent until we see the breakthrough over our lives personally, over our lives collectively, over our city, over our nation and the nations of the world. So what are the lessons we can learn from this scripture and this? What are the lessons we can learn? Number one, know your spiritual legal rights. Know who you are in Christ. Know whose you are. You see, if you understand who you are in Christ, you understand your position, you understand God's tethered himself to his word and his promises, if you understand God has obligated himself to by what he says, and you understand that this God sees you, so you understand he sees you, but also he responds to you. So what are some of the things you are? You are loved. When the enemy comes and circles your life like a vulture, and whispers and says, oh, look at the situation. You're not, God doesn't love you. 1 John 3:3 says, I am loved. Ephesians, when the enemy says you're not accepted, don't listen to his lie. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus comes to give life and life to the full. Ephesians 1:6 says, I am accepted. When the enemy says, you're not a child of God. John 1:12 says, I am a child of God. God doesn't care about you. John 15:14 says, I am Jesus' friend. When the enemy says, God won't provide. Romans 8:17 says, I'm a joint heir with Jesus, sharing in his inheritance with him. When the enemy says, you're away, how can God be for you? 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, I'm united with God and one spirit with him. When the enemy says that you are beaten down and trodden down, you say to him, no, I am a temple of God. His spirit, his life lives in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When the enemy tries to isolate you from the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, I'm a member of Christ's body. When you say, when the enemy says you're a sinner, Ephesians 1:1 says, I am a saint. Colossians 1:14 says, I'm redeemed and I'm forgiven. Colossians 2:10 says, I'm complete in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 says, I'm free from condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I am a new creation because I am in Christ. Colossians 3:12 says, I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says this, I'm established, I'm anointed, and I'm sealed by God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, I do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So no mental health issues are going to get in my life. No fear is going to get in my life. I have a sound mind. I have power, and I have love. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, I am God's co-worker. Ephesians 2:6 says, I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:18 says, I have direct access to God. John 15:16 says, I'm chosen to bear fruit. 1 Peter 2:5 says, I am one of God's living stone, being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. 2 Peter 1:4 says, I've been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, by which I share His nature. Hebrews 13:5 says, I can always know the presence of God because He never leaves me. Philippians 2:13 says, God works in me to help do the things He wants me to do. And James 1:5 says, I can ask God for wisdom and He'll give me what I need. So understand, church, who God sees you and who you are and what your rights as children of God. The Bible says, as many as received Him, Jesus, He gave them to be the rights to be children of God. What lessons can you learn from this woman? You can call with authority with what you deserve. Find what the Bible says. When the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven as we tithe and we stand on that promise. If you've been a tither or a giver, you stand on that promise and say, God, you said this, no matter what the situation says, no matter what employment says, you said that you are my provider. The Bible says, if you're needing healing, that He is your healer. By your stripes, you are healed. The Bible says He sent His word to heal all our diseases. So call with the authority of what God has given you as children of God. Call God to respond to His word. And I love this. Although He sees you and He feels, He must respond because He responds out of what He said, not just out of what He feels. In other words, you can go to court and it might be all emotional, but a judge cannot make a decision on emotion. He has to make a decision on what the law says. It's the same with God. God can see, we can respond to Him with emotion and He feels it and He's compassionate to us. But at the end of the day, He stands on His word. And when His word says, by His stripes I am healed, He responds to that. When His word says that He is our provider, He responds to that. When His name says He's our banner, He's our protector, He responds to that. He doesn't just respond to emotion. He responds to what He says. And when we pray, we need to pray in what the Word says. Understand the Word. So when you pray, and here's the response. When you know God sees you, when you know His children, when you know that He loves you, I love how the Bible says in Exodus, when God told the children of Israel, they worshipped Him. I want to encourage you. Let there be worship in your house. Let there be worship on your lips. Let the fruit of your lips give thanks. Lamentations 3:20-25 in the Amplified says this, my soul has them continually in remembrances and is bowed down within me. But this I recall and therefore I hope and expect. Therefore have I hope and expectation. It's because of the Lord's mercy and the loving kindness that we are not consumed, but His tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. God has got a breakthrough for you every morning. He sees and He responds when you're persistent. Great and abundance is your stability. This is God. And faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share, says to my living being, my inner self. Therefore, will I hope in Him and wait expectantly for Him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for Him, to those who seek Him, inquire of Him, and require Him by right of necessity and the authority of God's word. This is the God we serve, and we need to learn from the widow. We need to learn from Moses that kept going to Pharaoh, kept going back to God, kept going and standing on the promise. The widow who had an unjust situation, had an unjust judge, but she understood her legal position. And God says, hey, I'm not an unjust judge. I'm a good father. So understand that, wouldn't I not respond quickly to that situation? So wherever you are and whatever you're challenged with right now, my encouragement to you is, God sees. And because we know God sees, claim your legal right as His children. Say, God, I need your protection over my family right now. So I put a claim on that, Lord. I'm your child, and I'm going to go back like the widow that kept on knocking and kept on believing. God, I know you see me. See, if you think God doesn't see you, you just go, oh, just live life, whatever comes my way. But when you know that you're a child of God, that He sees you before even you're born, He has a plan for you. If you know Jesus, He's written you in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have an eternal hope. If you don't know Jesus, you can know Him today. God sees. That's why when He sent His Son Jesus, He saw. Jesus became a man, went through all the things we go through, because God sees. But we need to understand, because we have access to God, we need to understand our position, that God has tethered Himself to His word, what He says. So we come and we put a claim on it in faith and say, God, You said about my children. You said about my family. You said, come on, have a spirit like Rizpah that says, no way, no vulture's going to touch my family. No vulture's going to touch my finance. No vulture's going to touch my situation. The atmosphere might be a challenging atmosphere, but I'm going to create an atmosphere of God's protection, God's freedom, God's love, God's joy, God's peace. Come on, I want you to do this right now. If you got something in your house, I don't know, whatever, I want you to start doing this like you say, get away. You cannot touch my finances. You cannot touch. My God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Get away. You can't come near any way part of my household. God sees. So claim your legal right as His children. He is slow to anger. Bible says He's compassionate, but He responds to faith. In Hebrews 11, you see faith is the substance of things hoped for. As soon as you lose hope, you stop believing. Keep believing. Keep knocking. Keep putting your request before God. Be tenacious in your spirit and let's see a breakthrough. Come on, would you put your hands up all over the place? And would you come into agreement with what God says? Father, in Your name, I know You see. I know You care. I know You love us so dearly. That's why You sent Your Son. But Lord, our requirement, our response is to be thankful, but also understand our legal right as Your children. We are heirs of You. So that means we're an inheritor, a possessor of Your promise. And it also means that we go through trials and tribulations, but we come through victorious. We thank You, God, today. You are our healer, our provider, our freedom, our joy, our peace, our love, our exceedingly great joy. And so, Father, I release that into the households of people all over the city of Melbourne and Geelong, all over the world, into Singapore, into Cape Town, into Geneva, wherever people are hearing my voice, in the hundreds and hundreds of countries that listen, let your peace come and your joy.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.